right, I'm going to start my Christmas series for the next couple weeks. I'm going to break away from the other series we're doing. And I always touch on this subject because every time you start seeing Christmas holiday come around, you start to hear about the war on Christmas. You start to hear about all the people out there that say Christmas is a pagan holiday. All the things about Christmas isn't about Christ, and you don't need Christ in Christmas. And so each year I like to touch on this. Each year I want to make sure the body is equipped to really understand the whole argument about Christmas and be able to share the truth with maybe loved ones that don't see Christmas as you see Christmas, or a friend or a neighbor. And so today I want to revisit this subject, Christmas without Christ. Now, here, the main subject here, the title with Christmas without Christ, you see that little picture that says, Who Needs Christ Anyway, is a advertisement by an atheist group, American Atheist. And they actually had, it was on a video screen on a billboard in Times Square. And this is the video that ran. Go ahead and play it.
Segment nope. Tonight, the war on Christmas on display last week.
Go back. Go back.
Segment tonight.
Go back. Go back. Did it go? Yeah, don't click again. Leave it. Let it play. Now don't click. Just let it stop. Happy holidays. Do you know what holiday means? Holy day. You know, so it's kind of funny that they won't say Christmas, but they'll say, hey, I hope you have a holy day. Well, see, why are they saying that? The American atheists want to take Christ out of Christmas. Now, that played in Times Square, and people saw it over and over again. Now, there was an interview by Fox News, and I've played this before, but I want to return to it. And I want you to listen very closely to the interview. Go ahead.
Segment tonight, the war on Christmas on display. Last week, the group American Atheists put up a billboard in Times Square that says, Who needs Christ during Christmas? Nobody. That mean-spirited message caught defectors' attention, and we wanted to know why some atheists attack Americans of faith. With me now to explain is Dave Moscato, Communications Director for the aforementioned American Atheists organization. Wow, Dave, wow. How mean can you be?
We're not attacking anybody. We're just stating a fact that you don't need Christ to celebrate Christmas. Millions and millions of people in this country have a great Christmas without Christ having anything to do with it. Christians in this country don't really care about Jesus. It's not It's not about Jesus. Some do, but Christmas is not about Jesus. It's about spending time with your family. It's not
part
about going
of Christmas
to church.
Is Christ, and that's what it's based on.
I understand that the name is that, but I mean, you know, Valentine's Day is named after Saint Valentine, but it's not about a saint. It's about a romance. Things change over time. This is not about Christ.
Well, it says who?
It's the fact. People don't go to church.
It can't be fact. This is your opinion. It can't be fact. You can't say it's a fact.
Many
Christians don't care about Christ and Christmas.
Some do. Many, many Christians don't. Many Christians pretend that they care. They only go to church twice a year. It's just not that big of a deal to them.
But Dave, who are you to say what a Christian should believe or not believe in?
Christians can believe whatever they want. But what we're saying, what American Atheists is saying, is if you don't care about this stuff, don't pretend to care. If you want to sleep in on Christmas, sleep in.
So we're showing your billboard right there, and it says, Who Needs Christ in Christmas? And then the last part that's most offensive to me, what do you mean nobody?
Well, Jesus has been dead for a really long time. You don't need him, for one thing. But it's not about that.
No, because that's relevant. I mean, 73% of the country is Christian. I would say there are a lot of people who need Christ in Christmas.
If people want to celebrate Christmas with Christ, that's their choice. But Christmas is better without Christ. That's our point. We're improving Christmas by letting people be intellectually honest about not caring about this stuff. Don't drag your family to church if they don't want to go to church. If you hate church, you don't have to go. You can skip it. That's our.
Now, that last statement is completely false. I am, you know, always dumbfounded by the arrogance that they must think, how dumb they think Christians are, that we can't figure out that if we don't like church, we don't have to go. You know? Now, everything he said, is it false? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, now there is some truths. Some truths of what that atheist was saying. Actually, I would call him an honest atheist. I've known some atheists who lie through their teeth constantly. He's what we call an honest atheist. He admitted Christ died. That means he existed. Many atheists try to say he never existed. But also he had some good points about what, Mike? You said there were some truths there. What were they? Ah, yes, the people who go to church two times a year, Christmas and Easter. That's more out of tradition, superstition, because they think, well, I'll get some brownie points with God if I show up on those special days. And then they don't have anything to do with Christ the rest of the year. They're not in church. And it's not about attending church anyway, but it is about being part of the body of Christ. So he had some valid points in there. But the one I do take exception with is, we're making Christmas better by removing Christ. Christ is better without Christ. That was the statement. Go ahead and click. Christmas is better without Christ. Yeah, he says he's been dead. You don't need him. He's been dead for a really long time. All right. Christmas is better without Christ. I want to analyze that. Now, here's a picture of what they said is the true meaning of Christmas. We'll get back to this little slide here in a second. But I want to go back to the statement, Christmas is better without Christ. Now, Christmas is a Christian holiday, okay? Now, I know lots of people have said it's pagan and it's rituals, and we just actually discussed that at Thursday night and at the gathering. Christmas is not a pagan holiday. It is not the holiday of winter solstice or any other pagan holidays. But it always comes down to Christmas, Christians versus atheists here, okay? Are we actually against the atheist? Are they the enemy? No. No. Does God love them? Yes. And we need to show the same love. Now, what we need to do in showing that love is still standing for the truth and be able to express why Christmas is not better without Christ. You know, have an intelligent conversation and be able to express your views of why you celebrate Christmas and what does it mean. So that's what I want to discuss today. Now, it comes down to this. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, to be honest, there is no scriptural command to celebrate Christmas. None. There's nothing in the Bible that tells Christians to celebrate this day. God did not give us the date or even the day of his birth. It's not commanded for us to have Christmas. But on the flip side, there's no commandment against celebrating the day, okay, of Christmas. So again, it comes down to fully being convinced in your own mind. Now again, you have many atheists that attack Christmas, and then you also have Christians that attack Christmas and say it's a pagan holiday and you shouldn't be a part of it. And let me be just clear, I'm not going to go into that subject today. If anyone has any questions on that, feel free to write me or come up and talk to me, and I'll give you all the research that has been done there. And Christmas is a Christian holiday started by the early Christians. It has one purpose and one purpose only. The same purpose we have in it, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Ringing the bells, lighting the candle, all these things are not pagan rituals that we are doing. Christmas trees are not pagan ritual or pagan symbol. Pagans worship trees, do they not? We have a reformed pagan upstairs. He should know. Why do they still worship trees, Gordon? They're a spirit, and their spirit's in the tree. if you know there are spirits in the tree and you come and you deliver offerings, and that's what they do, they give offerings under the tree to the spirits inside the tree. If you believe that as a pagan, would you come and cut down the house of the spirits? Would you cut down their house? Would you come and cut down their house and then drag their house as a trophy into your house? Why? Because you're going to make the spirits mad. You're not going to do that. Christmas trees were never a pagan symbol. That is a lie. The very first Christmas tree have been traced back to the 16th century in Germany by early Christians who brought a tree in and decorated it with fruit to symbolize the tree of life. So it's not a pagan symbol. So we must be convinced in our own mind about celebrating Christmas or not celebrating Christmas. But let's look at some more facts here. Fact number one, historical fact number one. You have to click once, I think, for it to come up. There you go. Jesus Christ was born. That is an historical fact. It is an historical fact. Even the atheist said, hey, he died a long time ago. If he died, he had to live, be born. Right. So it's an historical fact. Jesus Christ was born. Historical fact number two. Christmas Day, a tradition started by Christians to celebrate that Christ was born. Christmas. Okay, it's about Christ. Historical fact number three. The truth of Christmas is found and established in the God-ordained prophecies of Christ. Not a commandment to celebrate Christmas, but everything we know about Christmas is prophesied. Let me show you. God ordained the birth. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundations of the world, before God laid out creation, God is all-knowing. God knew exactly what humanity would do in his creation. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was ordained to come, to be born of the woman. We see this in Genesis chapter 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On the belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God predicting here exactly his plan, that the seed of the woman, a human being, would come in, and he would crush Satan. Satan was going to hurt him, but it was just going to be like basically getting your heel hurt. But Satan was going to, a head blow was going to be delivered to him, a death blow. God ordained the birth of the Savior. Now, God also ordained the place of the birth. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. So he ordained the little town. The little town in this whole big planet, in this whole big universe, he knew the exact place. He ordained the place. God also ordained the time of the birth. Daniel 9, chapter or verse 25. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks, 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The command, Daniel is prophesying here, the command that comes to for the Jews to come out of captivity and come back to Jerusalem to rebuild. From that command, there was a certain amount of time, 70, for the Messiah to enter into Jerusalem. So if God ordained the moment the Messiah would walk into Jerusalem, then the date of that birth was set in time. So he could be born, so he could be there that day to walk into Jerusalem. God ordained the time of the birth. God also ordained the miracle of the birth. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin shall conceive. A miracle of God. No human father to pass on the sin nature. This little baby inside the Virgin Mary would be holy and perfect. Fully human, but fully God. The virgin birth, the miracle of the birth. And finally, God ordained the child of the birth. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. What's that third one? What is it? Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now this is completely, you gotta really hold and grasp this. The charge is made that Jesus Christ never claimed to be God, that he was not divine, he was not God in human flesh. He never claimed that, and the early church never taught that. That was added in the 200s to 400 AD time frame. You guys have heard that, right? That charge against Christianity? But this was written 700 years. The book of Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ. And what's so amazing is the Dead Sea Scrolls found in 1947 had a copy of the book of Isaiah, and it matches what our Bibles say today. And that copy is dated around 240 BC. What does that mean? The Bible has always taught that the Messiah was God in the flesh. And Jesus Christ is the Messiah, fulfilling all these prophecies and many, many more. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now you see when the apostle or the one of the disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you this long? You do not know me? I think it was Philip. He says, those who have seen me have seen the Father, Prince of Peace. I'll be speaking about that, I think, next week, Prince of Peace. So God ordained the child of the birth and who he would be. So we return to Romans 14. One person esteems one day above another, another seems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. I am convinced as a Christian why I celebrate Christmas. It is about the hope of humanity. We had no hope without this moment, without this birth of the Christ child. It was prophesied. The Old Testament saints believed in it. Their hope, their faith was in the moment when the child would be born. Now us, 2,000 years later, our hope, our faith is in the child who was born. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. We have been given this Christmas holiday represents a living hope that we hold on to. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, us. Think about that statement. An inheritance that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. There is a place in heaven that's all yours. God has set it apart for you. That's what the Christ child represents. That's why we have the holiday. reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, the atheist says this is a waste of time to believe in. Yes, Christ lived, but he died. They don't believe in the resurrection. And so this means nothing to them. It's a waste of time to have Christ in Christmas. They believe in celebrating things that are more temporal, that do not have an everlasting or eternal value. So bring up, here's what they say is the true meaning of Christmas. Now, I got the Rockettes. You know, that's the ladies that kick their legs up and dance. That's the true meaning of Christmas? Okay. Chinese food? I like Chinese food, but I didn't know that was the true meaning of Christmas. Stockings, gifts. Now, there's some good things. Charity? But you know what? You go on and you go to Google and you do a search on atheist charities. It's amazing how there are a couple out there. I'll admit, there's a couple. There's less than 10. I think there's only around 5. But if you actually read these charities, they're not really charities that help people. They're charities for the atheist to promote atheism. And they even take some charities out there and claim them to be atheistic, like the Red Cross. I was on this atheist website, and they were like, oh, we do have charities. Those Christians that say we have no charities, they're just mean, and they don't know what they're talking about. The Red Cross is an atheistic charity. Really? I'm pretty sure the Red Cross started out as a Christian ministry. That's why it's got a cross in it. It may be more secular now, but it's not atheistic. Charity, that's fine. Family, that's always good. Friends and food, hey, I always love food. All right? But are these really the true meaning of Christmas? The atheists want us to take Christ out of Christmas. So let's go back to their statement. Christmas is better without Christ. The American atheists. Here's what they want you to give your family. They don't want to, they're telling you, be wise up, grow up. Here's what you need to give your family, not Christ. Take Christ out. If you take Christ out of the word Christmas, you just left with mass, which is mass. You don't have the holiday anymore, Christmas. So fine, you don't want to celebrate Christmas. The only thing you can choose from at that time of year is called the winter solstice. That is a completely pagan holiday, superstition. It is not based, the beliefs of the winter solstice, what they worship, why they worship, it's not based in reality. It's not based with evidence like we have with the Bible, with the life of Christ, the meaning. There is no meaning. There is no truth. It's all superstition. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in. You want to worship a tree, you can worship a tree. You want to worship a bush, you can worship a bush. Worship Mother Earth. It's all superstition. So when you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with winter solstice for your family. Now, giving and receiving gifts, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus received gifts. There's nothing wrong with giving and receiving gifts. But when you take Christ out of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, then you're left with materialism. Some of my older members here, when you were young, when did the Christmas decorations appear in the stores? When you were young. There wasn't Black Friday back in the day. And you're not one of the older ones. Give me one of the older ones. When did Christmas decorations start appearing in stores? After Thanksgiving. Do you know it was before Halloween this year? Why? Because it's all about stuff. Start buying this stuff now. If you start buying after Christmas, after Thanksgiving, that only gives you so much stuff, time to buy stuff. But if we start buying stuff before Halloween, you can buy a whole bunch of stuff. And your Christmas will be true. It'll have meaning. How many of you have ever received a brand new car for Christmas? Anybody? One? You did? Huh? Oh, all right, of course. They own a dealership. But and I'm not attacking. Please, I'm not attacking. I'm not attacking you too. But I was watching these commercials this weekend. They're saying, hey, you want your Christmas to be perfect. Really, this is what you need, a brand new car. It's like, really? I mean, I wouldn't, if Randy wanted to give me one, I wouldn't say, hey, okay. That's wrong, brother. But really, do I need a car for Christmas? How materialistic have we become where, I mean, I'm pretty sure a car wouldn't fit under there. I mean, it used to be, back in the day, stockings, right? There were stockings on the wall, and you got a few presents in there. And then it became, well, stockings plus gifts. And now it's up to cars in the driveway. Materialism, not something. And nothing in this world, does anything in this world really satisfy outside of God? If I buy my dream car right now, brand new dream car, what do you think I'm going to feel like about that car in 10 years? Unless it was a 68 Camaro, all right? But materialism, that's what you're going to give your family when you take Christ out of Christmas. Eating and making merry. Now, hey, I love to eat. I'm sure Wendy will burn something on Christmas Day for us. Making merry, I like to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you take Christ out of Christmas and the day is just about you, and that's all you're going to do, and I know people that all they do is gorge themselves and drink. Most of their Christmases, they don't even remember. And that's just not a thing they do for one day. That's what their life is all about, self-indulgence. Trying to find satisfaction, trying to find purpose and happiness in this world. Self-indulgence. And finally, when you take Christ out of Christmas, you're left with no divine origin for the holiday. It's completely secular. Secular means no God, no outside force other than humanism. Let me ask you something. This world, natural world, and the humanistic aspect of it, is there any security in this world? Are you guaranteed anything in this world? Human standards. Really? You're guaranteed to die. And taxes. I knew someone would say that. Taxes. Die. So you're guaranteed in this world, if you take God out of the picture, you're guaranteed two things, taxes and death. And in our great country, you get taxes after you die. So Christmas is better without Christ. So you have winter solstice, superstition, materialism, self-indulgence, secularism. You know what? I want to share with the atheists that have that, think that's better. I want to show them what Christ brings to the holiday. I want to show them that Christmas is better with Christ. So, where they have superstition, and when you leave Christ in Christmas, you have salvation. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Where they have superstition, keeping Christ in Christmas is salvation. Because he was born. And he was born sinless. Because he was born of a virgin. And he grew in favor of God and man. And he lived a holy, perfect life. And he died The sinless life was given as a sacrifice to bring salvation. That's why I keep Christ in Christmas. The gift of eternal life represented in the child born in Bethlehem. Where they have materialism, I'll keep Christ in Christmas, and I have an heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Have you ever gone somewhere that, you know, the parking is going to be really bad to a show, but there was someone holding a spot for you? Or you're standing in line and someone's holding a spot for you. They got a place reserved for you. Isn't that awesome? Think about this. It's reserved for you. How is it reserved for you? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did the resurrection happen? Because of his death. How did the death happen? Because of his life. And how'd the life happen? Because of the birth. So we keep Christ in Christmas because we have a heavenly inheritance because of him. Where they have self-indulgence, we keep Christ in Christmas and we have spirit-filled lives. Instead of seeking our own, we get to seek Christ and have him live in us and for us to reach out and serve others. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Spirit-filled lives. Much better way to live than trying to seek your own pleasure. Trying to find something in this world that'll satisfy. It's a vain attempt, vain journey to go on. And finally, where they have secularism, no security of God's of any sort except for death and taxes, where they have secularism, we have the security of God's love when we keep Christ in Christmas. Romans 8. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors to whom he loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Secularism, no security, no hope. Christ, Christmas, the security of God's love. Let's compare the two side by side. What they want to give you and your family is superstition, materialism, self-indulgence, and secularism. I want to share with you that Christ came so you could have salvation, a heavenly inheritance, spirit-filled lives, and the security of God the Father's love. That's what Christmas is all about. So let us be convinced, fully convinced in our own minds. And I know I am, and I hope you are. Let us be fully convinced in our own minds. Christmas is better with Christ. And this is what we need to share with people. Less than 20% of the American public will attend a church this Sunday. It's closer to 12 to 13%. The atheist was right. Many don't really care about Christ. They'll come on Christmas. They'll come on Easter. They'll say, no, you should keep Christ in Christmas because it's tradition. It's what my family always believed, and, you know, it just makes me feel good. But the atheist is right. They really don't care about Christ. The other 50 weeks of the year. Maybe they don't care because no one's ever explained to them truly the gospel, what the Bible actually says, and the true meaning of Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. My family had some great traditions. We have great traditions in our family. And we have some secular, non-Christian traditions, you know, Santa Claus and things like that. But our Christmas tree in our house, if you come into it and you reach through and you can see it, right in the center, there's a long nail and there's a red ribbon tied to it hanging on the tree. And my children know that this holiday is the birth of Jesus Christ. And that nail, that spike, the center of our tree, the center of the holiday, is because he was born to die. He was born to die for you and I. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's the greatest gift, any Christmas gift you'll ever get, is coming to the understanding of who Jesus is and why he was born. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ that God offers by grace. Grace. This is what we need to share with an atheist, with a family member who doesn't believe, with a neighbor who just doesn't go to church and understand why you go. We're not trying to win an argument. We're not trying to beat them over the head. But we do need to share that there's great meaning, there's great joy and peace to be found in the truth of Christmas. Christmas is better with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Christ child. We thank you that you ordained every aspect about that day, that day, that night, that you would put on human flesh and you would come into our world. You would live a life, not with a silver spoon in your mouth, but you came as low as a human being could come. Born among animals. Lord, you came in such a way and you ordained it. There wouldn't be a human being you couldn't connect with. You weren't born disconnected from the problems and the cares of this world, but you were put right in the middle. You understand what it is to have nothing in this world. You understand what it's like to be tempted with everything, to experience all the hurts and the pain that we have felt. You are not a high priest that is distant, but one that is near, approachable, one that we can connect with because you came, born as a baby. Lord, we just want to say how much thankful we are for this Christmas holiday. A time where even the non-secular, non-religious world talks about peace and goodwill towards men. It's an opportunity for us to share the truth. People are more open during this time of hearing the true meaning of Christmas if we will just share. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for the Christ child, for the Christmas holiday, the season. And yes, it's become secular in many aspects of it, and people have hijacked the true meaning. But that's why you have a church, Lord. That's why we are here as salt and light, because we can stand up in this secular, pagan culture we live in. And we can declare the truth. That you are the light of the world that came into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And we are here as your witnesses, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to testify of who you are. And we can use the Christmas holiday to do that, to show how you ordained everything, and show the true meaning and treasure of Christmas. Help us to do that, Lord, in love and humbleness, but with courage and boldness. That Christmas is better with Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.